Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast, recording today's intro on my brand new Heil microphone. Hey, speaking of Heil, I don't know if you saw this on Facebook or online, but Bob Heil of Heil Microphones, obviously, he got to meet Peter Frampton backstage at in St. Louis at Peter's show and gave him the original receipt for the very first talk box that Bob Heil made for Peter Frampton. So it was a really cool moment. And I'm really glad to have them a part of this show now. You know, it's pretty wild to think about how much history that Heil sound has been a part of in St. Louis music and all around the world. So super happy to have them a part of this show. So check out heilsound.com. I got a big show coming up on August 13th, heading over to Naked Vine for my monthly singer-songwriter storytelling showcase. And this show will feature my friends, the Brothers Reed and Tim Lloyd of Western States. Again, this is an intimate singer-songwriter acoustic storytelling show. Just three writers sitting on stools sharing all the stories behind your favorite songs. It's a $10 cover at the door, 8 p.m. start. Again, that's at Naked Vine in Chesterfield, Missouri. And if you haven't been out there, check them out at nakedvine.net. Be sure to check come out there for some great live music. They do music mostly Thursday through Saturday. And this week on Thursday, you can see my friends Jack Grelly and Ryan Koenig out there. That's Thursday, August 8th. Friday, August 9th, Diesel Island returns. And on August 10th, my good friends, the Scandaleros return. Again, you can find all this information at nakedvine.net. And be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And as always, come out there thirsty. They always have the best wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers for you. So yeah, join us again for the Singer-Songwriter Storytelling Showcase, August 13th. The Brothers Reed and Tim Lloyd of Western States. I'm really excited about that night. And I hope to see you there. Last but not least, I wanted to let you know about my friends at Joseph Meyer Club. If you haven't checked it out yet, go over to josephmeyerclub.com and pick up some of their brand new foaming aftershave. It's a fantastic product. I use it myself. I love it. It smells wonderful. And you can try it today for 20% off using my code RPPJMC20 during checkout. Again, RPPJMC20 at josephmeyerclub.com. Be sure to follow along with them also on Facebook for more details. All right, everybody, that's it for me. I want to thank you all again for listening. I appreciate all the love and support. But yeah, reach out Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all me. And let me know if you want a t-shirt, a hat, or whatever you'd like, or you just want to say hey, or suggestions or tips or anything. You can also find me at rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com if you'd like to send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. So again, thank you all and have a great day.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Tyler Cash, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Tyler Cash. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
This is fourth time, I believe, right?
Yeah, that sounds right. Third or fourth, something like that.
I think you did two solo, and then we did a Hard Loss one about a year and a half ago, and that's number four, I believe.
Yeah, that's we were just talking about this earlier. It's crazy to think that it's really been a year and a half since the last time that we've gotten together.
Yeah, it. I'm terrible at time. Like I talk about things like they were the other day, until I actually. You know, I have it all cataloged on my website. So I do a search and it's like, holy shit, dude, that was a year and a half ago already. Man, like,
do you go back and listen to your old podcasts?
I mean, you
have a million. So
I have, and I try not to because it's awful. Like, it's like it's fun to, but like, I feel like I've progressed so much as in audio quality, one, and then as a my delivery and being a host and everything else. Like, some of the early episodes are very rough for me to listen to.
Well, you know, it's kind of the same with being a musician. I know some out there are like keen on listening back to like monitor mixes from live shows and stuff. Some of the guys in Hard Loss are like that. They'll get like a monitor mix back. And I'm like, man, just live in the moment. Like,
sure.
You know, because you're going to hear those like little cracks in your voice. You're going to hear that like, you know, that note you might have messed up. But like no one there picked it up. But, you know, you're the only person that's going to notice these things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel that, you know, I'll tend to go back and listen to, you know, early recordings of both either the podcast or like bands, and a little bit more judgmental. But, you know, I guess it comes with the territory.
I feel like that, like I compare myself a lot to like musicians in the sense, the fact that I am recording this and it's like out there for everybody to listen to, and comparing it to like old bands or any, you know, whatever early music and stuff that you recorded. And but that's the thing, is like everybody's been listening to it the whole time. It's like all my, you know, it's not like I could have just got better at it and then, you know, it's like as a band practices in the garage or whatever until you get ready for the show. It's like mine, I started recording like day one not knowing what I'm doing, so all my growth is like documented out there.
Trial and error. And you have the worst part, like, because it's your voice.
Right.
As a singer, it's the same way. Like, you'll listen back and you're like, man, I hate the way I sound. Is that what I normally sound like? It's weird. Like, the sound of your voice isn't what it sounds like in your head.
Oh, sure.
Never. Like, yeah. At least in my experience. So I get that. And so you don't have the band to back you.
Right.
It's just your voice. So you're going back. You're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Or I wish,
oh, yeah.
Or I wish I would have been more clear or more articulate, you know? So I get that entirely.
I say way too much dumb stuff and it's out there permanently. And I'm like, oh, well.
Well, now you can edit it.
Yeah,
now you can bring it up in post on Audacity and you can delete it.
Right.
I'll do that all the time. I'll go back, and I'm jumping ahead because I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about this, but I'll go back and I'll chop up. I try not to. I try to keep it pure, but then sometimes I'm like, man, if I just remove that and that, you know, the clicking of the mouth and just make it one cohesive like sentence, then I sound way more intelligent than I actually am.
Yeah, I've been trying to get better about it just naturally, not having to edit it. But yeah, every now and then you got cleaned up some, and just to, so you don't sound like an idiot. But
absolutely.
So, but anyway, man, we got a lot going on. We got some big shows coming up for the band. We got obviously, if you're hearing this, we got a big show coming up tomorrow, Floor Fest 4, which is going to be a wild night. And but of course, like you mentioned, you've since we've last spoke, you've ventured off into podcasting yourself. You now have a Fourth Line Goon, which is available all over the place, right? You got Spotify and
same
all that
stuff. So, yeah, Spotify.
Wherever you listen to this show. And you've pretty much, I mean, it's pretty strictly hockey talk on that one, right?
Well, we try to spin it in a sense that it's a casual conversation about hockey. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is narrowed down to hockey talk. But, you know, I'm not a former NHL player. You know, we're not analysts. It's just like a bunch of bros getting together, you know, having a few White Claws or what have you,
right,
and chatting. And we market it actually as alternative hockey culture, so that we, you know, kind of engulf the whole idea that maybe we might talk about, you know, a concert we went to, or, you know, a restaurant that we ate at, or, you know, a city we visited recently. So we try to incorporate that stuff. But yeah, it is hard to not be analytical with playoffs. And that's kind of where we started.
Mm-hmm.
So we obviously started, you know, at the beginning of the playoffs this year, and we're through the whole amazing run with the Blues. And, you know, it's been a blast. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This was a pretty good year for the club.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say it's our, you know, we're responsible for the Stanley Cup victory, but I mean, we definitely assisted, right?
All right.
We're 1-1 for seasons covering the Blues and them winning the Cup.
I mean, if it hadn't been for those White Claws, you know, who knows where we'd be.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's crazy. There's so many things that happened, you know, this season between, you know, the whole Gloria hype, which Hard Loss covered. You know, they, you know, adopted that as their win song is kind of like a joke, you know, it's just like a
sure.
you know, an inside joke amongst the club. You know, and that was, you know, massive, you know, and then bringing up Binnington, you know, giving this rookie goaltender a shot, you know, the whole thing with John Hamm kind of rallying behind the team. And
yeah.
I mean, like someone posted online, they're like, you could easily make this a movie.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously it's been said a million times, but going from last to first, you know, winning the whole thing, it's like, it's nuts to, that's right out of the storybook, man, right out of the movies and stuff. So
yeah, absolutely. No, storybook season, so much fun, especially yeah. growing up a hockey fan my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I've wanted to do a podcast for a minute now, and music is my life.
Sure.
You know, it's engulfed my entire existence, my entire being. So at the end of the day, I don't want to sit down and really do more with it, I guess. I don't know. I've had people ask me like, oh, why don't you get into like the label side of things or management or producing? And I'm like, I like keeping music in my heart, you know, like on stage. It's I'm an entertainer. I'm a performer. I like that being music to me, you know. And to be honest with you, the music industry in general has kind of jaded me, mm-hmm. you know, over the years. So, you know, I didn't want to start another podcast. Plus, you do such an excellent job, you know, with St. Louis music, obviously.
Thank you, sir.
And you know, I wanted to do something different. I wanted to put myself out there on a limb that maybe might fail,
mm-hmm.
you know, because not everyone that's supported me through my music, whether it be through my, you know, through Tear Out the Heart or Hard Loss, through metal or pop punk or through my DJing, you know, it's always been music based. So not every one of them are going to be excited about hockey like I am, you know? And, so definitely took, you know, a couple of nights of pushing myself mentally to finally step out there and do it. But it's, man, it's been going so well.
Yeah. And you do the show, with a friend, you said,
Yeah, my friend Tommy Goff. He lives in LA now. He used to live here in St. Louis. Funny story. I met him actually at the NHL Awards 3 years ago. The inaugural season of the Knights when they picked their team, and we were casted by a casting agency to be seat fillers. So we were like the people that sat on the floor with the, you know, rest of the players and the coaches and all that stuff. It was wild. I was like a couple seats down from Connor McDavid, you know, Ovechkin, Gretzky was like a couple of rows ahead of me. It was wild. Anyways, we're filing in to find our seats, and these guys were in front of us, and I think I overheard them talking about the Blues. And I was like, oh, you're a Blues fan, huh? And they're like, oh, yeah, like, we're from St. Louis. And so we got to chatting. We found out that we were all on this Facebook group where we come together and we trash talk other hockey teams. All
right.
So sooner or later, we figured it out, and we connected the dots. Tommy became a good friend, him and his brother Andy. And Tommy is a very analytical asshole, but I mean that in a nice way. Like he's just very like quick to pull stats out of his ass and to like prove you wrong in an argument. So I knew immediately when I start this podcast about hockey, which is something that I have a great passion for, but may not be the most educated in numbers. I knew that he was the guy to go to, and he's kind of the yin to my yang on that. He fills the void.
Sure. Nice, man. You, I had, talking about that, kicked up a memory. I didn't actually get to do it, but I was like, thought it'd be really cool. But I had a friend who works for Scott Trade over there or, whatever, Enterprise Center.
Enterprise Center these days. Yeah. Keel Center to me.
Yeah,
still.
Right. Yeah, sure.
But yeah.
And WWE was coming to town that for this particular event. And she's like, hey, anybody, any couple seat fillers for the show, and they can get a free ticket or whatever. You just got to, but you might have to move around.
You might.
So it's like, I was like, well, that could be fun. Like just to, you know, get a free ticket to go to WWE and just like, but yeah, they just have you go sit in the front row and to fill spots and stuff for camera. And I was like, it'd be interesting.
Did you move?
I didn't know. I wasn't able to go to it to that, that night, but I was like, it just sounded like a a fun thing. Just
it's awesome.
Just exciting. So yeah, the fact that you actually were a seat filler, like it. So that's what I thought was.
And here's the thing too. We didn't have to move.
Right.
Well, I mean, like they tell you, they warn you ahead of time, you might have to move. And I was like, man, I kind of want to enjoy this for what it is. Like, I don't really want to move. We didn't move, and we sat like dead center. Like I said, a few rows right. back from Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Jager, like just all these like superstars that I grew up idolizing. And yeah, it was just a once in a lifetime experience, honestly. I mean, well, they do it every year. Right. If you look hard enough, you can get, you know, those opportunities. You guys just like search online for the casting call things and send your photo. And you know, I guess they decide if I'm not too ugly to sit in these rows, and I guess I made the cut, you know.
Yeah. Put that on your resume.
You know, seat filler. Yeah. I'm not too ugly for national television.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess take me back a little bit though. Where does the love of hockey? I guess did you play as in Little League and stuff, or is this something sort of new? Because I know, I mean, I've been following you for, you know, we've been friendly for a couple, you know, a few years now, whatever.
Mean, if last time I was on here was almost 2 years ago, then we've known each other for like four.
At least, I don't know, whatever it's been. We've been friends for a while. But I know you've, you know, obviously a big fan of the Blues and the Knights and all that. But and you play. I actually own one of your shirts, your Blues shirts.
Oh, right, yeah. That's the team that's playing tonight, actually. As soon as we're done with this, I have two games up at All-American. It's actually where Pat Maroon got his start.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, so he brought the cup up, like, whenever he came through for his cup day and stuff.
Very cool.
So, yeah, you asked where it all stemmed from. I grew up playing hockey. To be honest with you, it was kind of my first love.
Yeah.
More so than music. Just because when you start out as a young kid, you get those hockey cards.
Sure.
I mean, sports are just that first thing that's introduced into your life, right? So I grew up a Blues fan, playing all the NHL 94 game, you know, all the games on Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, collecting all the cards. I was playing, and truth be told, I didn't grow up in a well-off environment. Let's just say that. I mean, we were a good family. Like, I'm no regrets with that, but we were pretty poor for the most part. Sure. And I mean, hockey's expensive. Okay. Right. Oh, yeah. Any sport for a kid is expensive. So growing up, it wasn't the easiest to get into those like clubs and those leagues and those get the ice time and growing in and out of pads. I was actually a goalie, so it was even more expensive on my mom. You know, I kept it going as long as I could, and my mom was always very supportive and did what she could. And I remember my cousin introduced me to Green Day, and it was the Dookie album. It was the first album I ever owned, and my life just changed immediately.
Yeah,
I was like, I need to do this. I punk rock was just what I wanted to do, and I went to my mom and I said, hey, I want a bass guitar. I want to be in a band. And she goes, well, I thought you wanted to be a hockey player. And I'm like, I do. I mean, and now it's not that crazy. I'm both, right? I'm a musician.
I want to play bass on skates. Right? Yeah.
I want to mix those worlds together, which is what I'm doing these days. But not the easiest when you're a kid and your parents want to guide you and they want to make sure that you're, you know, focused is the main key. So she said, well, you know, you can't do both. You know, you should do one or the other. Do you want to be in a band or do you want to be an ice hockey player? And I went the route of the band, you know, and never looked back. And a couple of years ago, I went back and went back to just rec league hockey, you know, playing in line and then eventually moving back to ice. And sometimes I'll sit down and I'll have a few drinks and be like, man, you know, I wonder what would have happened if I would have kept going with hockey, you know, what would that have meant, especially with the old Pat Maroon thing. Like I said, hometown boy from St. Louis starts at All-American, which is where I grew up playing,
right?
You know, and, you know, could barely skate, never played ice hockey before in his life. He was scouted from All-American. It's things like that. You're like, wow, you know, this could, you know, you could do whatever you put your mind to.
Yeah, man.
And, yeah, I mean, long story short, I look back and I'm like, man, would I have wanted to keep doing hockey? But if it weren't for music, we wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Sure.
You know, I wouldn't have gotten to travel the country. I wouldn't have been able to meet my best friends in the entire world. I would have never been able to meet my wife, mm-hmm. you know? So, no regrets there, but you know, I'm making up for lost time now playing again. I'm playing like three nights a week and then I got the podcast.
Yeah, man. Very cool. Well, again, click that subscribe button to Fourth Line Goon and get more hockey talk. I'm sure, you know, gearing up for next season. I'm sure you guys will have a lot to say about all that. And
yeah, we try to do it every week.
Yeah.
So check it out. Fourthlinegoon.com is the easiest one and on Facebook.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I gotta start listening more. Between doing my own, I have some podcasts that I follow, but unfortunately I don't get to listen to nearly as much as I used to since I'm recording all the time myself. But, I definitely want to get into it, even though I don't really get into hockey as much as, you know, but I just enjoy, I'm a fan of conversation and learning and stuff. So it's like, maybe I might discover something new in there. So.
Right. Well, I mean, it's funny, you're a podcaster. So when you're done podcasting, you don't really listen to podcasts. You probably listen sure. to music.
Well, both. I mean,
yeah,
depends on if I'm like, if I go to like a hard, you know, rock and roll show or whatever, and it's loud all night, and it's like, you know, sometimes on the way home, I like kind of just want to decompress, and I'll put a podcast on, or I listen to a lot of Howard Stern show too. So it's like same thing, kind of have just that talk radio conversation, and so I like both of that. And you know, it depends, but some nights I'm amped up, and I need to put on some tunes and dance in the car and all whatever. So.
Yeah, see, like when you're unwinding, you want right. to listen. Yeah, see, I feel like because I do music, I'm always unwinding. Like, I don't really listen to a lot of music in my car.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's funny, people all the time will ask me, they're like, what are you listening to? Like, you listening to talk radio? Are you listening to, like, yacht rock? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, but aren't you, like, this punk rock guy? And I'm like, I am, but I just yelled all night, you know? Like, I just heard loud sure. music last night, you know? Whenever it's downtime, it's time to, like you said, learn, you know, and dive into some different
yeah.
worlds.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Speaking of yacht rock though, I have been listening to a ton of yacht rock on my Sirius satellite. It's
the best.
It's fun,
it's
man.
It's comforting.
Some of the especially like Michael McDonald stuff, all that like I mean, but what's really fun about that too is like just as a fan of music, like Michael McDonald came up the other night and it was I keep forgetting. And you know, and then which is just fun for me to say it like him, but that song you listen to that and it's like, man, what is it? And then it's like I realized it was Regulators. They sampled that beat in Warren G and Nate Dogg Regulators.
Really, from Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
Wow,
so,
I did not know that. That's
so
crazy.
If you're a fan of music, you start listening to some of these old tunes, and like you realize like they're all recycled back into pop music and hip hop and everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah,
so.
Dude, especially these days, like there will be a hook that you hear. Yeah. In a pop song, like from Ariana Grande does this one song and the bridge is like a hook from an NSYNC song from
right.
like freaking 2000, you
yeah.
know, which is, this is crazy. But yeah, I'm a big yacht rock fan. And you were talking and saying you've never tried White Claws before. So you're halfway yeah. there. All you need is the yacht rock, the White Claws and the yacht.
Yeah, man.
And then you're rocking.
Right. Yeah. If I only had that yacht. that's all I'm. I did go to QT, man. They were all out of the White Claws. I figured, I was like, I wasn't really too surprised that the QT next to Tyler's house was out of White Claw. But yeah.
They're like, they're like, when I walk in, they're like, you again.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we hide him in the back. No, yeah.
There was like Harry's or something. There's like another, or there's other versions.
There's a bunch of them. And you got to look out. You got to look out because yeah. they're all not as good as White Claw, but they're all about the same. But the great thing about it is it's a summertime drink because you
right.
go to the pool or you're on a yacht or you're on a float trip and you can drink three or four of those sons of bitches and, you
sure.
know, basically under one can of Bush or feel better, you know, because they're less sugars and less carbs and all that stuff. So
yeah.
that's how it originated is people are like, oh, this is amazing because it's not as horrible for you. I mean, it's still bad. I mean, it's still malt beverage, but it's delicious.
We went to the lake over the weekend. It was my brother's bachelor party, and we downed a whole bunch of those Bush lattes. And
it's just Bush Light, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I was bummed out about that,
yeah.
personally.
but it's funny that they actually really made it a can, though. Like, they really, off of this internet thing. Like,
you thought they would have like actually done it because I know PBR did did like a coffee flavored PBR, and I'm a big fan of stouts and porters and dark beers. That's my favorite thing. But you can't drink those in 90 degree heat. It's just the worst. So when I saw Bush Latte, I was like, oh, well, light beer that's got a hint of coffee, I'm into it. And then they toyed with my emotions.
Yeah. It was, we did a whole bunch of those. And, but I'm with you. Like, I was like, I wasn't feeling too good after drinking a bunch and then, like, just being out there in the heat all day. And, but maybe that was my mistake. I should have went with the White Claw. And,
well, yeah. I mean, because it's just, it's carbonated water with alcohol in it. You can't go wrong with that.
This episode brought to you by White Claw.
Hey, I really hope so. If that happens, let me know. Hey, I've been trying to get that.
I try to take pictures with QT cups as much as possible. I'm working on that sponsorship. I feel if I name drop enough, maybe somebody will send me some money.
But. You know, it's funny that you mentioned the QT cup because I get some shit sometimes because in the very first Hard Loss promos, I had a QT cup.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And people were like, "What are you trying to do? Get sponsored by QT?" And I'm like, "I didn't even think twice about it. I just had it on me, you know."
If I could get a couple of free taquitos every now and then.
Hey, I live right next door. I'll walk. I'll get a QT sponsorship for some roller dogs.
Yeah, man. Well, like I said, we do have a bunch of shows coming up. Like I said, Tyler has lots of music to offer also. Let's get into some of this. Obviously, the big one coming up Saturday, August 10th. This is a fourth annual Floor Fest. And this is just your rock and roll festival you put together, just a sweaty punk rock show, right?
Yeah, this is my baby. So, yeah. And every year I say this is going to be the last year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then last year went so well. And I was like, well, shit, I can't stop now. And, of course, the following year would be more of a headache than it was before. And I'm like, man, maybe I should have quit while I was ahead. But I don't know. It's me. I'm pretty keen on nostalgia and tradition. Like, that's just my thing. Like, I love getting groups of people together that maybe wouldn't normally meet under any circumstances and just have a good time. So that's, you know, that's what I try to do with this Floor Fest festival every year, do something different.
Sure. I'm totally down with that, man, because, like, a lot of the shows I try to put together – I try to do very multi-genre stuff, you know, very mixed bills, and try to put, and that's one of the things like I take most pride in is when people are like, you know, I wouldn't have maybe came to see this band otherwise, but the fact that they're here and like I'm like, I really like what they're doing and stuff. Like, so try to introduce people to new music and they get to meet different people in the audience and everything else. And it's like, so that's one of my biggest things is trying to get people to network more and get to, you know more about.
Well, segregation is not a good thing in anything in life, in any aspect. And I think that that's been a big issue with the local music scene in general is just, why would you go see five pop punk bands? Why would you go see five metal bands? Why would you go see five hardcore bands or five hip hop acts? Why not get one of each, you know? Cause like that seems interesting to me because you might find your new favorite artist, you know, your new favorite band. So that's what I try to do, you know, and this year we have 13, I believe it's 13. It's the biggest one we've done yet. We have hip hop, we have pop punk, we have metal, we have hardcore. And you know, every one of these bands has something new to offer and they're all good dudes. And I'm looking forward to it. And we, you know, aside from that, we do other stuff too. Like we bring in local vendors, local businesses, we have the Roughneck Beard Company coming in, and they're going to do a setup shop. We have Altered State Comics, comic book shop's going to come in. We have artists and painters. My wife paints glasses and actually makes organic chocolate. Just stuff like that. We're doing a 90-inch projector Mario Kart.
I still have some of Jess's art at my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you have?
Jack and Sally wine glass.
Oh, nice. Yeah, she loves doing that.
Yeah, I bought some from her for Stacy, my wife. She's like a huge Nightmare fan, so
that's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, she that's her main thing is she paints on glasses. Like for this Floor Fest, she did a bunch of I call them jersey glasses, where she puts the team logo on the front and then a name and number on the back.
Oh, nice.
And she's been making them for me for years, so like I'm like, look, people ask about these all the time, you need to put some together. So she did some for the Blues, O'Reilly and Bennington and Tarasenko. So
very cool. Well, you again, this is Saturday, August 10th, in Afton at the Elks Lodge. Tickets are 15 at the door. If you get them today, I guess they're 13.
Yep, 13.
If you listen to this when this comes out on Friday, we'll have 11 a.m. doors, all ages show, and you'll have live music all day from Positive Punk, a good buddy of mine.
Another podcaster.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
Wes is awesome.
That's how we got to meeting, really, is through podcasting and stuff. I think maybe he was on with the band first, talking music. Maybe, I don't know. I forget.
Dude, Wes
Either
is such
way,
a good guy.
We've covered it
yeah,
all, but
he's
Wes
such
is
a good
great.
Guy.
You got Gossip Machine. You got one of my favorite vocalists in town, Mr. Ryan Chaney. Of fivefold fame, now Steeples,
yeah,
and stuff. So that's gonna be fun.
Great
too.
Dude, great
yeah.
singer.
Yeah, man. Cover Letter, and I'm not as familiar.
That was
with
we
them.
Were talking about before we started filming. It was my buddy Sam and Carl. It's their cover band. So what they do is they do, they pick a more recent band and they do it. So they did Thrice before. They've done Since It's Fail, and I think for Floor Fest last year, and then this year, they do like a medley. So it's like an emo emo cover band.
Do they do any drops of like Office Space? Like, you forgot your cover letter on your TPS report.
You know what? Yeah. If they're listening, which I'm sure they will eventually, they need to use that for an intro. That's got to happen.
That's one of my favorite things. And especially like it's one of those things, like it's already funny. But then the fact that they just keep bringing it up, but the repetition of it makes it even funnier, you know?
Right.
Obviously, Office Space is a classic. You got Skylines and Kill Their Past, which I don't know Kill Their Past very well either.
So. Those are it's kind of like a hardcore super group. These are guys that have been playing around in bands and playing shows since way back. Since I was, first going to shows at Ramp Riders and Creepy Crawl, OG Creepy Crawl and stuff like that. My good friend Steve plays drums for that band, and he's a good guy. And I'm very excited to bring them in because I think that, this is a different kind of show for them. And I think that the kids that are going to come out are going to be really impressed by what they have to offer.
Nice. Yeah, man. Callaway Circus will also be there, which I really dig what those guys are doing. They're just high energy pop. Pretty much, and it's good.
Well,
teams.
And unfortunately, they had to cancel.
Oh, okay.
But we couldn't update the flyer enough. But here's the thing: I'm glad you brought this up. I really want to see him.
Yeah,
I'm bummed out that I can't see him because I think for such a young band, they seem very promising.
Sure. Yeah. Ben's a great writer, and they've been creating some really great music. So, you won't be able to see him at heart. Floor Fest, but definitely check them out. They got a brand new video out there that's beautiful, shot by Juan Ibanez.
I saw, buddy Juan did it. So
yeah, Man the Helm. Those guys are a ton of fun. They're just good time for sure. And with the Winks, another friends of my show, another lot of fun.
Dylan's a good guy.
Yeah, Dylan's a real good time too.
He's been very supportive. I know him from way early Count It days. Man, he would come out and. He was just always the most punk dude. He had to make sure he was the most punk rock guy in the room, right? Coming in stinking like Bush beer and staring off and with those crazy eyes. Yeah, he's a good party guy. I love partying with him.
Sure, man. You got City of Parks. Obviously, they've been a staple in St. Louis pop punk for several years now.
Yeah, and they just played with us at our last headliner at Pops, and they were awesome. Very good band. Very good band.
Yep, and The Few. I'm really dig what those guys do too. So they're come on out and see them. And you're bringing in The Day After from Indiana, right?
Yeah, Indianapolis. This is their second Floor Fest. And we've went and played with them in Indianapolis as well.
I think it was last year. Again, I'm not terrible at time.
Yeah, you guys went to Emo's.
Yeah, we did a podcast at Emo's right before they went to the show to play. And so I had a great time hanging with those guys, getting to meet them all. I've kind of known Colin through the internet for several years.
Yeah.
His older
bands and stuff.
through a mutual friend, he was he did some artwork and stuff for a friend of mine, Jeremy. I don't know. It was I don't know how we became friendly online, but I knew his name and we started. And then all of a sudden, put it all together, that we've known each other for a while before we actually got to meet and stuff.
Yeah, those guys are sweethearts, and they're the perfect like bro band like for Heart Loss. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like, it's just a good relationship to play shows and hang out, and we don't live far from them. You know, it's a 4-hour drive to Indianapolis, or you know, from them to come here to St. Louis. So, you know, I'm fucking stoked to have them back.
Yeah, and then Unimagined, they're pretty heavy, right?
Well, yeah, they're like, I guess kind of, from what I've gathered and what I've listened to, they're kind of like a Chiodos meets like Pierce the Veil kind mm-hmm. of thing, like super man, what would be the word? Theatrical. They're super theatrical, okay. Like really into like the whole image of the band and making sure that everything kind of like molds together. Awesome dudes. And they have a very promising future, and they're one of the sets that I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah. And then you got Ashland, who they've been another fixture of St. Louis music for quite a while, and great band, great more in pop music, I feel like, too.
And we've never played with them.
Oh, yeah.
Heart Loss hasn't gotten a chance to play with them. So we did. They played acoustically at the New Lingo CD release show.
Okay.
So we did get that. But Aaron's an awesome dude. I chat with him all the time. Another one of those people we talked about where you just kind of meet him through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very much looking forward to their set as well.
Yeah. And then, of course, we mentioned Hard Loss. You guys will be headlining this thing, and it's going to be a good time, man. So come on out to the Elks Lodge there in Afton.
Yeah, I'm very excited. We're debuting a new song.
Okay.
Something that I haven't done in a long time, like play a song out before people have heard it. I guess some people would say that's kind of like something, it's like a noob move sometimes, you know, like, cause it's not perfected, you know, it's not exactly sure what you want people to hear, but we're going in this different direction. It's okay. Like more aggressive, more alternative, heavier, almost, you know, vibe. And we were going over the songs from the EP and, you know, everything. And we were like, this just doesn't feel right. You know, not that we don't love those songs, because I love those songs, but most of those songs now are 2 years old, which is,
sure,
that's insane. We were just talking about it. It's crazy that I can't believe this band is 2 years old. And the songs that we were playing were the ones that we wrote to start the band,
mm-hmm.
Which are great, and they're good songs, and I'm glad that we did what we did. But we're actually getting ready to go back into the studio at the end of the year, back with Nick Ingram, who did our first EP, and he did In the Gray, and he's done pretty much all 95% of the stuff that we've done.
Right.
And so the song we're going to play is going to be on that upcoming EP. So okay, we're pretty excited about it. And it's getting there. It's almost,
yeah,
it'll be tweaked, but it's close enough. And I think it'll be a good banger.
I like that kind of stuff though. Like as a band, or, you know, I follow a lot of comedy also. So it's the same kind of thing. Like sometimes your jokes aren't completely flushed out. You got to get out there and you got to like test it and see, hey, maybe this works this way or whatever it is, and until you get it right. And the same kind of thing, kind of get, I like that kind of peek behind the curtain a little bit sometimes, into the process and stuff, not where everything's completely polished and perfect. I like some of those B-sides and demos and different things like that too, and music and stuff. So
that's a great point, and I'm the same way, because this band was meant to just kind of be fun. Mm-hmm. That's how it started. Obviously we've had some moderate success, which has been awesome, and I'm really proud of what we've done. But I don't want to ever lose sight of the fun part, you know, like as soon as a band stops being fun, stop.
Right.
Like, you know, it's not a job. I mean, it can be a job, but the reason that we are doing this in hopes for it to be a career is because we're creative and passionate individuals. And, you know, when you try to put a label or a limit on being creative and passionate, then you don't really get the outcome that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So when the guys brought it up, they're like, we really want to play this new song. I was like, no, you know, no, I was not feeling it at all. But then I thought about it and I'm like, that's fucking awesome that there's the five of us are stoked on something.
Sure.
So why not play this? You know, why play a song that the five of us aren't stoked on just because we think, you know, a few people there might be that know it,
right,
that might be more excited to hear a song they know. But we're still playing. I mean, we're still playing three songs off of off the EP, and we're debuting a new cover. So that'll be fun. We always try to throw in a cover, not even one that we recorded, but like just one that maybe if you've never heard A Hard Loss, you just hear it and you're gonna have a good time, especially at Floorfest.
Yeah. Well, even that, like, you guys have a couple of the covers online with the Flagpole Sitta and Somebody Kill Me.
So we did the song from The Wedding Singer, right, with Adam Sandler. And then we obviously did the Gloria cover the blues, which was awesome. But and we just do those things.
The video turned out real nice, too.
Thank you.
With your pup.
I did that all on my phone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I edited all that on iMovie. I did it all on my phone. Super DIY. But we knew if we were going to do that song, we had to do it right. We wanted to pay homage to the city and the team. And it was great. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we do all kinds of covers, but that's... Even when we play live, we try not to play those songs all the time. We want to throw in something new. So we got something new for Floorfest.
Nice. Let's talk about In the Gray. This is pretty heavy, man. This is definitely more... I mean, obviously, Hard Loss is fun, pop punk, party kind of stuff most of the time. But this song has got a lot more depth to it. And in the video, really beautiful video. Yeah, that's also with Juan, right?
Yeah. Juan did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best. I mean, that guy just crushes it every time. Like, it's really fun to see what he does with the way he works and stuff. Like, he's really
talented. To work with me, and anyone will tell you this, I'm a very opinionated person, but I have a big vision for what I want to do, and especially for that song, it meant a lot to me. And I wanted it to impact people the way that it did me when I was sitting in here in my living room writing it. So I knew that I wanted to share my wife's story. That was something that was a goal of mine for the video, but I knew that there are other people out there that had different struggles, you know, that maybe wanted that spotlight, that opportunity to tell their story. So all we did was we posted a status, you know, who wants to talk? And it was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It was super overwhelming. And the stories that were shared are beautiful. They're awesome. And Juan took it and took the ideas and the concepts that I had and worked very hands-on and with me about it, and end product is awesome.
Yeah, man. Make me believe in this life I lead while living in the gray. When I'm down, when I'm broken, remind me of better days. I'm stuck in my own head, and I know that I should fight back and not stay at home in bed. So let's waste time with the late night drive and let these sad songs speak for us. Roll the windows down, turn the music up, and let them know we've had enough. Down, we're not broken.
voices in my head or not my friends.
Suppression is substantial and such a dread. These voices in my head are not my friends.
Check out that video again. That's, you know, Facebook, YouTube, whatever, you can find that video. Stream the stuff on Spotify, grab it on Apple Music, wherever you're grabbing music. Do you have physicals at the shows at all or anything like that?
You know, I don't know that we'll ever do physical copies. Right. You know, we've talked about, this is what we're going to do, I think. Eventually, we're going to take both the EPs and put them on a vinyl.
Okay.
That would be cool to me.
Hell yeah.
Like, man. A vinyl and a cassette. Something that is has more monetary value than just a CD, because
I like that idea a lot, man.
I don't have, you know, most people don't have CD players in their cars anymore.
Sure.
You know, there's no CD drives in computers. So it's hard for us to fathom spending the money for a CD if it's just an outdated technology. Not that, you know, vinyl and cassettes aren't outdated, but they have some sort of a nostalgia vibe going.
Yeah. I had a conversation once with Nick Vatter, one of my favorite comics. And he was talking about that, like, you know, he had to put out a record through Comedy Central Records, but they weren't going to do physicals, but he wanted stuff to sell at his shows. Obviously, that's how he makes a lot of his money, and you know, so he was like, "What if we do like a download code thing?" He's like, "But I don't want to just put like a business cards out there. Like, let's do something else." So he created a flip book, and put a code on that, and I thought that was a fun idea. But he's like. He's like, we got to the point now where he's like, you can just go to like a garage sale and get like one left shoe or whatever and put a digital download code on it and somebody's going to buy it. Like, it's just it's just funny to have that kind of.
Well, who was it? It was a rap group. It might have been 3-6 or somebody. They did, it was Wu-Tang. They did a skull.
Oh, yeah.
It was like one skull with the USB put in it. And they sold it to one person. So, like, only one. And that one person never released it. So, that one person could have released it if they wanted to, or they could keep it to themselves, and they bought it for, like, $500,000.
Oh, wow.
And it was just, like, the album was on one USB drive that was in, like, some sort of skull.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you have to get creative, you know, because people don't want to pay for music.
Right.
You know, you literally click a button, and you can have any song you want. Whether it be hip hop, yacht rock, you know, metal, whatever, you can have anything. You can have the attention span of, you know, of a bird. You know,
right.
Just click whatever you want and play whatever you want. So, if we do it, we want it to be like a package deal where it's like maybe a vinyl with side one is EP1 and side two is EP2. I think that'd be really cool, and it would show the progression of the band. Like as you said, it's gone, you know, into a different realm, and we want to showcase that more.
Yeah, man. And also, I want to mention that Wu-Tang's for the children.
and it's also nothing to fuck with.
Yeah, that's true. I wanted to kind of get into some, I know one time a while back we got into some movie talk. I know you're a bit of a horror movie buff, right?
Yeah. I've kind of grown out of it a little bit, you know, but the 90s and the 80s, sure. I mean, were the mecca of horror.
I didn't know if you got into, there's been some, you know, recently we just had the new Child's Play come out, which I couldn't bring myself to watch.
Yeah.
It looked a little too weird for me.
I missed that. I missed that one. Because that one was, growing up, Child's Play scared the living shit out of
me.
Yeah, I had like a My Buddy doll. And it like, and it's funny because in the new movies they're called buddy dolls, so they knew that that doll existed. They're being self aware of this doll looking like a good guy doll. But yeah, I missed that. I mean, I haven't seen a good horror movie in God knows how long. I know that tonight that Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, that from book that came out. I want to see that. It looks great.
Did you hear the news about the new Saw coming out?
No. No.
So it got bumped up to, I think, to May instead of Halloween the next year, which I'm not sure why, but because they've always been on Halloween, around Halloween since they started, I think. But they decided to bump it up to May. But it's actually, I originally heard it was written by Chris Rock, which I thought was weird because, like, Jordan Peele just went and did horror movies and stuff. I thought that was kind of funny. Like, you know, he's like, well, if Jordan could do it, I'll go do it or something like that. But I guess I must have misunderstood. But he's actually starring in it, Chris Rock, and Samuel L. Jackson is his dad in the movie.
In Saw?
Mm-hmm. And what? Chris Rock's like a new detective on the Saw case.
Okay. That's very interesting.
I mean, like, I'll watch it, but wild. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out, but Samuel L. Jackson, I was like,
wow.
It was funny, though. So on Saul's, like, Facebook page, what they say? Something, I don't remember now. I forget. But they made a reference, like, I'm sick of these motherfucking whatever, you know, like
this motherfucking house.
Yes, it was something along those lines. So it was just funny that they also had like a laugh about it, you know, like that Sam Jackson.
Well, I think they're trying to get self aware,
sure,
because Jigsaw was self aware,
right?
And it was actually enjoyable. It had a little bit of comedy element to it, and I think that they realized that they can't keep going. Into this dark, like, circle. Eventually people don't pay attention. It's kind of like what happened with Scream. Scream it became more and more self-aware as it went on. And then the Final Destination movies, they did the same thing.
Right.
You just kind of have to blend the audiences. It's no different than, like, if a pop star can cross over into the country realm, or if the country star can cross over to the, you know, or the rapper can cross over to the country, you know, as we're seeing now. Like, if you can get more than your target market in the same room, then you're winning.
Yeah. You mentioned 90s movies, and somebody brought up they wanted us to discuss some Ninja Turtles. And I don't know, I'm sure that was just a goof, but
yeah.
It was last summer, speaking of all that, I went to see, they had the 90s house party at Hollywood Casino out there, and I went to see Vanilla Ice headlined it. And he actually got into and did Go Ninja.
Did he really?
I think it was Raphael came out and joined him did the ninja rap dance and all that stuff.
If I'd known that, I might have gone.
I mean, that was worth the price of admission right there. Between that and then he did Ice Ice Baby, of course, and like, which was funny because he didn't close with Ice Ice Baby. He did it like earlier in the set. And you watch, like, the entire lawn get up and leave. Like,
go get a beer.
Well, I mean, they were all like, all right, that's the end of the show for me. Like, that's what they came to see. It was, you know, and it started actually, I should be fair, it actually started to rain, like, right after that. So then everybody was like, okay, I heard, you know, I saw what I wanted to see. And
I wonder if he knew that, though. Like, he was like, man, I really want to give these people what they came here for before they leave.
Maybe, yeah. But, yeah, anyway, it was a ton of fun. But I never thought, you know, I'd be 33 years old sitting there watching a Ninja Turtle and Vanilla Ice rapping and stuff. But
you want to talk about real quick? One of my inspirations growing up was the Ninja Turtles actually put out a rock album. Did you know about that?
I don't know if I saw it. I did. I have seen them live in concert at Six Flags, but I don't know if
so
I.
So you knew. Saw? You had to have seen that. So they put out like a rock album called "Coming Out of Our Shells."
Okay.
And it was like an 80s hair metal thing.
All right.
Yeah, and so as a kid, like, I had the VHS and would watch that, and they did, like, all the songs from the movies, and then they did their own adaptations, and they went on tour. It's got to be on YouTube. So if you're listening to this right now, or if you, when you get, dude, look it up. It's called Coming Out of Their Shells, yeah. And at least a trailer's on YouTube, and it's real. Yeah. They really did this. So you were probably one of the few people that actually like got to see that.
Yeah, I can't remember any of the music, but I do recall, memory of going to Six Flags and watching live action concert or whatever of the
right.
So
well, yeah, they did it like it was. There was acting and stuff involved too, but sure. Then they had their own music. So
yeah,
great.
Man, you gotta just throw in some karate in there too and stuff. Yeah. But have you gone back to watch any of those movies at all? Like, do you?
Oh man.
When's the last time you watched Secret of the Ooze?
Oh, it's been a long time. I loved Secret of the Ooze, though. Yeah. I got kind of burnt out in Ninja Turtles because my mom thought that was the only thing that I ever liked. So, like, for Christmas and my birthday, every year would just give me Ninja Turtles stuff constantly, right. Like pajama pants and shirts. And she even tried to give me a shirt, like...
Mom, I'm 30 years old now. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know how moms are. Once they latch onto that one thing that you like, that you said you liked that one time,
right.
Then that's what they're going to get you forever. So, I got kind of burnt out on the Ninja Turtles. But, yeah. I mean, they did hold a special place in my heart when I was a kid. That's for sure.
Yeah. We went and actually watched, like, the reboot movies in theaters when the first one came out, the TMNT or whatever. But
I saw the first one.
Yeah. And it was okay, but it wasn't. I prefer the rubber suit version, you know, and all this stuff. Like, that was more fun for me. Like,
what did it for me was when they announced the second one and, like, Casey Jones had, like, real short hair.
Yeah.
And then, like, Bebop and Rocksteady weren't, like, I don't know. It was just, I realized, though.
You're messing with my emotions.
Yeah, well, somebody said one time, we're no longer the audience. We're not right. Kids.
Sure.
So, and that makes a lot of sense. So I'm not going to bash on it, but it's not, you know, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, man, but yeah, I haven't watched those movies in a while, but there is somebody cut him up. I think it was the first movie. I forget now. But anyway, they cut it up and like overdubbed it. And
the dubs are amazing. Yeah those are on YouTube. Yeah. Yeah.
Those things make me laugh so hard, man, when people do any of that kind of stuff.
Well, and that first one, that first Ninja Turtles movie is very dark.
Yeah.
It's pretty emo.
Right.
Like, if you go back and you really watch it, I remember it's like, especially when, isn't it Leonardo that, like, when he gets hurt and, like, they go to the house and they have to, like, nurse him back to health and stuff. Yeah, I mean, it gets pretty grim.
Yeah. There's, you know, and speaking of, like, stuff that you didn't really, like, think was like a Zemo. Like, obviously I knew it was emo, but like I just recently went and saw Good Charlotte live at the Pageant.
Oh man, I wanted to go to that. Jealous.
It was a good time. Like, I mean, it was like you could tell they weren't quite, it wasn't quite there. Like, it was still fun, but they, like, I think they were playing a big festival in Nashville or whatever it was, something like that. Tennessee or something, whatever it was in there. And whatever town it was. But anyway, they were playing this thing, so I think they booked the pageant like as like a practice gig kind of thing.
Okay, right.
Like right before the tour. And so, because it was like a last minute pop up, like the kind of thing. And then, and so they were kind of working some of the bugs out of the everything. But they still sounded good. But I listened to some like Good Charlotte before going to that. And I was like, man, there's like some super dark and emo stuff on those songs. And like for songs that are like poppy punk stuff, you know, like, but I was like, man, that's not like some serious heavy stuff in there in some of the songs. But
they're a great band though.
Yeah,
they're really
for
good
for sure. But anyway, this is, you know, but compared to listening to it as a teenager to listening to it as an adult, like, you know, it went over my head when I was younger. Now I watch it or listen to it and it's like, oh man, yeah, there's some pretty heavy stuff in there. So
yeah.
But anyway, I know you gotta run. We got a big hockey, we got two games tonight, we got, like you said. So But again, subscribe to Fourth Line Goon. Wherever you're listening to your podcasting, you can find Hard Loss coming to a town near you, hopefully. We got, like I said, you got the Afton Elks Lodge on August 10th. You got, you're coming to Cape Girardeau area, Fox Fest.
Yeah, we're really excited about that.
August 31st.
We were supposed to be a part of it last year, but we couldn't make it, so we're finally making it.
I'm not even going to try to name all the bands because there's like 100 of them. So
yeah,
there's but check that out. Great lineup. All kinds of St. Louis local music will be down there for sure. And then like I said, find Hard Loss on your Facebook and Instagram and everything. Get involved and So, yeah, man, I thank you, Tyler, for doing this, buddy.
I appreciate you having me, bud. Absolutely.
And I'll talk to you soon, man.
Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.